Welcome to Fishing Without Bait, a lifetime without definitive expectations, where we help people explode into their lives through full impact mindfulness. The only entrance fee is the honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness to try. So, we're going to continue our conversation with our delightful guest, Tara Vieira. And that's what we're talking about, clearing up the wreckage of the past. And what we're talking about is having no fear. No fear at all. Having minds of awareness. You were talking earlier about your continuing adding to and reinforcing your relationship with the higher power. And what you talked about before we actually started recording was so beautiful. And I listened to your recordings before, and your adventures, especially the use of marijuana and having the spiritual experience, and then after 2 years, you said that you put that aside and didn't need it anymore. Could you explain about that? Because having this spiritual bond and spiritual connection is a huge part of the 12-step experience.
I guess the timeline doesn't matter. The point was, I was very familiar with the rooms and I was active in the rooms, but I decided somewhere along the lines that I was going to play around with marijuana. I kept relapsing. So I had put the children to bed and my husband was in bed and I was laying in bed and it was edibles because I couldn't smoke with kids and a husband. They'd go to bed and I'd edible and I was laying in the bed and there was like a moment of reprieve from all the guilt and shame and fear that I had been carrying for so many years. And instead replaced was you're exactly where you need to be. All three of my boys were lined up in the rooms. So my husband, me, and then all three boys were all in the same house. And it was all just, everything's okay. Everything's perfect. Everything's fine. You're not fundamentally, indefinitely broken. Was the sense. There was not these words, but this sense of this relief from those feelings I just described: shame, guilt, remorse, fear, self-hatred, self-loathing. And instead it was replaced with love, a feeling of love, unconditional love. And then the next night, same thing, same exact thing. And I'd like to say I immediately got up and never touched it again and went into the rooms, but it took a few weeks. It took just a few weeks because soon that substance turned on me just like alcohol did. And where it once brought me calm and peace, it began to bring me my thoughts, it turned on me. We'll just say that. And so my only alternative at that point was, okay, well, I sure as hell can't go back and drink. Cause at this point I haven't had alcohol for 2 years. So I'm like, I can't go back and drink and that stuff's not working anymore. So I guess I'm going to have to do the 12 steps. And so, now mind you, I was still going to meetings during that time and everyone in the rooms welcomed me lovingly. I'm sure anybody paying attention knew exactly what was going on. And the day came where all of that stuff was thrown out. And that was February 20. I don't know. I threw it out somewhere around the 24th, probably the 20th, maybe the 23rd, maybe the day of the 24th. Who knows? But clean and sober since February 24th, 2016.
Yeah. And on that day, you were free.
Yeah.
How do you credit that? You were talking earlier about spirit guides. Tell us about the influence and impact on your life.
Okay. So did you ever see Hunger Games?
Yes.
So that's how my spirit guides roll with me. They're always with me. And I'm of service. So like I consider myself right now. So this part could have totally changed since the last time we spoke because my spiritual stance, my whole stance on religion is one, it's nobody's fucking business but mine, what I believe, but I'm happy to talk about it because I would love to have heard somebody say what I'm about to say, when I was atheist. I was agnostic, but I thought I was atheist. But either way, the whole idea that you have to believe a set of beliefs that nobody really knows the truth about is completely contradictory to what feels right to me. And that may feel right for some people, and that makes them feel safe and contained, and that's great. But for me, the idea that I have to forever remain open-minded about the topic of religion and spirituality means that it forever can grow, forever. I don't have a glass ceiling to what I believe is possible when it comes to God or gods or spirit guides or whatever have you. So currently, back to my thing. So currently, I like to think of my spirit guides as always there with me. I kind of have two on each side, and they're always there supporting me as I go through life. So I'm here supporting God, the universe, source, energy, whatever have you, whatever works for you. I'm a little soldier here. Step 3 and step 7 prayer both say the same thing to me. They say, fix me so I can serve you. And that means serve other humans and make this worldly experience a little bit better for someone else. And that is my goal every day, to wake up and be of service. Even when I go to work, how could I be of service on this call? How can I help? How can I be a good listener? If I'm always coming to the table with that goal in mind, and I'm obviously not always doing it, but trying, then my little spirit guides send the little packages like, oh, Tara needed some water. Oh, Tara needed this. Oh, Tara needed this. And they just support me along the way, just like in the Hunger Games. So that was the reference there, you know, when they could like drop shoot a little package in.
Yes.
So that's what my spirit guides do in ways that work really well if I don't try to control things and resist. If I surrender and accept what is, it's easier for those packages to get direct route to me.
I think that says a lot. You know, we talk about all the sayings that in the 12-step world that we have so many of them that I think they're sharp sticks in a closet and we throw them at each other. But you know, more will be revealed, those type of things. And having the big book tells us that our purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and to our fellows. That's our purpose. That's what it's supposed to be.
And it is the most rewarding way to be.
Yes, and there's another one that you talked about, talking about surrender. I'm sure you've heard the thought about surrender to win.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? That's kind of a paradox, isn't it?
I know. It's like the it is what it is quote. You know, it is what it is. Well, obviously, it is what it is. So for me, the surrender to win is kind of like a little cliche, but I do like the meaning behind it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well,
it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. It's the oxymoron, right? It doesn't make any sense. If I want to win, I'm going to give up, but it's just not giving up. It's allowing help in.
Our purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and to our fellows. So the idea about acceptance is, acceptance is always the prelude to change. And when we surrender our character defects in order to fill up. It's like you can't fill a full glass, Tara. So what we try to do is empty out some of the glass, that the things that don't serve us or serve our fellows or serve the Creator, so we can be filled with new things. That's what I mean about surrender to win. What's your thoughts?
I think that surrender is necessary. I have to get out of my own way so that help can come in. So I don't like to give up. I force things. I don't. The whole idea of surrendering has a different meaning to me now in sobriety. And after experiencing the magic that happens when I surrender, I hold on so tight. When I am holding on to something tight today, it's an immediate red flag that, oh, I am making things more difficult. I'm delaying the resolution here. And I tell my kids that too, when they're getting in trouble and they're not taking their consequence, you just go to your room. I'm not going to my room. And they're mouthing off. I'm like, you're making things worse. If you just go to your room, it can get better. Things will get better sooner. So that may not be the best example, but another example that I probably shared in the last one was changing babies' diapers. If you've ever had a toddler that doesn't like getting their diaper changed, they're wiggling and kicking and they won't stay still. And you're just trying to change their poopy diaper. And I think of myself, and then if they stay still, it'll be done a lot faster and they can go off and run. And I consider myself like that little toddler sometimes where I'm kicking and screaming. I'm like, no, don't. And God's just like, stay still for a minute and I will, that will be better. I promise. So just surrender and then be done. And then off you go.
Well, we often talk about that the 12 steps, one of the purposes of the 12 steps is for ego deflation. And when somebody usually tells me that what you're suggesting won't work, or I'll just take part of it. So I'll stop them, Tara, and I'll ask them, I'll say, tell me how your way's working.
Yeah.
Are you sponsoring anybody at the moment?
No, my sponsee is MIA, and she's a nurse and she's in that nursing program.
Yes.
And so I don't think she's out drinking because she has accountability there. But I do worry about her when her program finishes up in October, that she's not going to have a fellowship and she's going to be let loose to drink, and that'll be dangerous.
But well, one of the things that is most important, and this is, you know, rehabs always try to have follow-up care with people. If we don't, I can get anybody clean or sober, Tara. I can chain them to the wall, but unless we find out what's driving that behavior, then they're more likely to drink again, which means that we have to help them understand about changing their thoughts and changing their actions and finding out that their way didn't work.
Well, I was just reading my notes from years ago. I used to take notes in all of my meetings. So I have dozens of notebooks from sitting in AA meetings, which not everybody appreciates. But then I proceeded to type them up. I would finish a notebook and then I would type them up. And wow. So I was reading through my notes today. And some of the stuff I was writing and reading was just like, wow, I wrote that when I was sober. I don't live like that anymore. I don't think like that anymore. There's so many of just, I don't know. It's just such a better life. And so it keeps getting better. The program keeps getting better. There's the behavior, the not drinking and the improved behavior and the rewards and the promises are continuous. And I know that to be true for old timers too, because they tell me the same thing and it continues even after decades. There's no glass ceiling of the promises.
There's no reason why things can't get better. People will say, well, can't last forever. I say, convince me that it can't.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you doing on a daily basis to improve and maintain your recovery that you can share with other people, Tara?
Well, I do pray before I get out of bed. My alarm goes off and I lay in bed and I pray. I don't pray for things. I pray for connection and guidance, and I surrender. Help me get out of my own way. And then I do get on my knees. These are two things that I do every single day, no matter what. They're my brass tacks minimum. Takes all of 5 minutes of my life or less. But I also have other practices. So everybody that comes on, keep coming back. I'm hesitating because I just talked about typing all my notes up and I'm starting to really sound crazy. but I have a spreadsheet of everybody that's been on Keep Coming Back. And as I said before, episode 207 is posting this Thursday. Yeah. And I call them on their birthday. So I have a spreadsheet of every single person that shared in order of the year. And I call them and wish them a happy birthday.
Wow.
So I make a lot of phone calls. Needless to say, there's 207 episodes. So I make a lot of calls, birthday phone calls to people.
Excellent. Very nice.
I read my Jesus Calling.
Okay.
I read my Emmett Fox Around the Year.
Okay.
Showing you some visuals. This year I started a God journal. I don't need to show you those, but I have a journal, hard copy pen and paper journal that I write in. And then I started a God journal. So it's actually not an original idea, and there's probably a name for it, but it's like God writing to me. So it's just whatever. We talk so negatively to ourselves. It might have been some author was talking about it. I don't know if it was Brené Brown or Elizabeth Gilbert. I don't know. But we're talking about how negative we talk about to ourselves. We can talk so negative to ourselves, but we don't necessarily talk lovingly to ourselves. You're doing such a beautiful job in your program, Tara. What a wonderful day you had yesterday. You were, you know, made the kids smile, whatever. I've never written any of that, by the way. My God journal is way more intense. But I write notes to myself as if I were speaking from God to me. I also have some other daily readers, some other AA daily readers, and then I have affirmation cards.
Oh, so, wow. Okay.
It is possible for me to get through all of that every day, but to be completely honest, this time of year, it's not as easy to do. And I don't stress about it. I'm like, just kind of do my bare minimum. And I try to read something. And so interesting. Today, I read Jesus Calling. So I consider myself an omnius. So I think there's truth in all religion. Okay. And for me, what feels right is what's right. I tell my kids, and I know I said this in the last episode, do your own research. Don't let anybody tell you what to believe. And when you think you got it figured out, you don't. Stay open-minded and keep learning and keep exploring. And that's how I approach the whole notion of belief and religion and God, because nobody really knows. So why not keep an open mind? So I read my Jesus Calling, and I got interrupted by something. And so I left, but when I was reading it, I was like, oh my gosh, that's exactly what I needed. I was totally trying to control my day. And I leave, and then I came back and I read it again. And I'm like, at this point, I had a different issue, you know? And like, it worked for that issue too. And I thought, wow, that's so crazy. So it's almost like I could take whatever words I'm reading in any of these texts and find meaning that I need. And that's probably just my subconscious or my intuition nudging me. Because my brain knows things that my conscious mind doesn't remember or recall. So I think all of these tools are not so much about the act of doing it, but just paying attention when I'm doing it and remaining open-minded to what I need to hear or do or think or feel at that moment in time. And sometimes it is just rote and I'm just reading it just to mark it off the list. But I try not to let that happen.
I see you glowing when you talk about this. And I love the way you become animated when you're describing what you're doing. We talked before. You're probably made, I don't know if you can read that tattoo.
Abracadabra.
Do you remember when I was talking about that? I don't think we talked about it before.
I don't test my memory, man. I have a very small hard drive.
So when you see the word abracadabra, what comes to your mind, Tara?
Surprise, magic.
Yes, making something appear, right? So actually, it's Aramaic. It comes from the Bible's Jesus time. And what it roughly translates into, I speak what I create what I speak. So we're talking about learning how to speak to ourselves with a friend. The cool kids call it manifestation and vision boards, but it's been around for a long time. Abracadabra, make things happen. So 80% of cognitive behavioral therapy is about changing the language in the way you speak to yourself, Tara. So when we talk about manifesting and learning how to speak to yourself, well, how do you speak to yourself now? Let me tell us that.
Well, my thoughts, I was excited to hear what you had to say. Like, oh, good, I'm going to learn something. And then you gave me a question.
This is about you.
My thoughts have gotten very sneaky. So I now have negative thoughts without words. And so I have to be really diligent about what I'm thinking about myself. So the same thing with judging other people. I don't actively ever think, oh my God, what is she thinking wearing that? Those words would never go through my mind, but I would still have that thought without words. And so I have to pay attention to my emotions. That's the only way that I can manage to make sure my thoughts are in check. And if my emotions are negative, I know that I'm going somewhere negative in my thoughts.
I love the way you're talking. We're going to continue our conversation on the next podcast with Tara Vieira and a free prescription that you can cash anywhere. Fruits, nuts, and vegetables. Unplug your television and take up fishing. And for a truly mindful experience, we suggest that you fish without bait. Do a kindness for yourself and do a kindness for another. Forgive yourself and forgive another. If we're all not God's children, none of us are. Till all are free, none are free. Namaste.
Please check out our website at fishingwithoutbait.com, where you can listen to the show, comment on our discussions, and find out where you can subscribe to our podcast. If you're interested in flying the colors of Fishing Without Bait, click the shop icon on our website. We have clothing, mugs, cell phone cases, and so much more. Show the world that you fish without bait. This show is a member of the Sorgatron Media Podcast Network. Find out more at sorgatronmedia.com.